Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of January 21st. Please take the roll call.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Deputy Chair Peterson?
Here.
Director Darcy? Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment? I wasn't given anything. I don't believe there's any public comment today. Okay. First item is the approval of the minutes of the regular Finance Administration and Operations Committee meeting and executive session held on December 10th of 2014. Is there any discussion? Any comments? There being none, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. There's no additional items that I have, so let's go to the executive director.
Okay. We just have one presentation that I'd like to introduce. As we are rehabilitating or building roads as part of the Move Illinois program, we are also going to be updating a lot of the technology that helps us make sure that traffic is flowing smoothly and people are getting communications, important communications, while we're out on the roadway. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about some new signage that people will start to see appearing on different sections of the tollway system as we are replacing or adding a dynamic message sign. So I think we're all familiar with those, the signs that are over the road that flash different messages. We're going to be using some new technology, which is color dynamic message signs, and kind of testing that out on different parts of the system. John Benda is going to give a brief presentation about it, but we're actually very excited about this new technology and the capability that it gives us to communicate more effectively with our customers as they're driving at 55 or 60 miles an hour on our roadways, 70 in some portions, but also the type of messaging that this new signage is going to enable us to do, which is a little bit, there's, I think, a little bit broader spectrum of messaging that we're going to be able to accomplish with this new technology. So, John, without further ado.
Good morning. Thank you. Dynamic message signs are not necessarily new. The toll road was actually a pioneer back in the late 70s, early 80s, and installed dynamic message signs. I think originally we had 7 of them in our system. They've come a long way in terms of technological advancement. You see the jumbotrons, the digital billboards that are now occupying many areas along the right-of-way, and their ability with high definition to provide clean, crisp images. Our goal is to take advantage of that and apply that to the transportation industry. Some other states have already been creative and looking at using colors. Again, yellow is the universal color for caution, orange for construction, and the use of graphics. What's neat about these new signs is not only are they color capable, but they are full graphic and they are high definition. And so you have a lot more pixels communicating a much stronger image, which allows you to get into the use of graphics. the one I like is on the bottom where it actually replicates the speed limit 50 sign, and then there's a caution associated with that. Or you see on the top right here where you've got men working and emerge symbols, a complicated message that you couldn't do just using words, but with two symbols and a few words, you can communicate a good, accurate message to traffic. graphics are recognized more easily. They're more of a universal language for our customers who are perhaps, like English is their second language. Graphics affords us an opportunity to communicate better and more accurately to them. Color enhances quicker recognition, particularly for construction zones, for caution. So the combination of the color and the graphics, we think, presents a huge opportunity. And the new signs that we're installing on the system, and as we begin a replacement program for the existing signs, we'll be looking for full graphic color DMSs. Several states have deployed them, only some are using them. IDOT has some installed, and they've made some use of them when they were doing the interchange work and they had to close I-94 downtown. They used color on some of theirs and some images. recent studies conducted in Texas by the Texas Transportation Institute, Rhode Island, Canada, Australia, commonly used in Europe, And there were focus groups and simulations that were done as part of those studies. So we're trying to take advantage of what other people have learned and studied. For example, some messages just don't work. If the image or the complex picture is confusing, people won't understand it. If you try to get too fancy with too many colors on the bottom, it doesn't work. And you really need to be careful on how you mix colors and words and the fonts so that you improve clarity and don't create confusion. Some successes to build on. This is a great one up on top. Cautions, fill on the roadway, and there's a slippery symbol, and be prepared to stop. So when it's used properly, with good customer recognition of what the message is, we feel it can be a very effective tool to enhance our ability to communicate to people and literally operate the system in somewhat of a technologically advanced way.
So, John, part of this is using signs and symbols that people may already be familiar with. Like, a lot of us have seen that slippery vehicle sign before.
That's correct. And when we did our simulation over at M2 with our employees, the commonly understood symbols gained a lot of recognition and support and got higher ratings than new symbols that we created. And we'll show you a couple that we thought were going to be good, but were disastrous.
But one of the powers here is that it looks like you can combine, instead of having to choose one symbol or the other, you could combine a couple that are familiar that give people the...
Right. If you were trying to say that the road is slippery ahead and try to stop and there's a spill in the road, you couldn't do it all in text. You're limited by the size of the sign and the number of characters you can put on it. But if you can incorporate a couple of readily recognizable symbols and a few key words, you'll be able to, what I say, communicate a complex message in a very simple format to people who are driving at 55, 60 miles an hour, or 45 in a construction zone. Right now the manual says that the use of symbols should replicate static signs, and one of the reasons we want to go to the feds and request approval to experiment is we want to expand on that, and I'll touch on that in a moment. Okay, we did some recent testing with a color dynamic message sign that we acquired. We actually have it mounted at M2 at a maintenance garage and invited several TOLI employees to come over and view several different images and then fill out a survey and the results, partial results. We haven't tabulated everything yet. We're still, it's a work in progress, but some preliminary results. These were the worst performers. Debris 3 miles ahead, keep right. Nobody understood what the symbol was for debris. That's supposed to be a tire and some other branches or other debris in the road, and nobody could figure that out. Congestion ahead, I thought that one wasn't a too bad a one, but our survey people said they didn't like it. The you drink, you drive, you lose, they didn't understand what the handcuffs were. And the ozone threw everybody for a loop. We understand what the answer is. So these are our worst performers. Some of the better ones, again, the use of interstate symbols. Right now we communicate travel times, and it says travel time 2, and it says Route 59, or it says Interstate 80. If we're able to simplify that sign, we can put more information on there and communicate more accurately to customers. So that looks like a keeper on the top right, top left as well. Again, road work 3 miles ahead, lanes reduced. That could easily be road work 3 miles, and you could have a symbol next to it that shows a lane reduction as well. And so we're going to be testing these further and experimenting. We want to take advantage of the color and the graphic capabilities. We don't want to make mistakes. So we're proceeding very carefully. And we will be assembling a formal request for experimentation that will go to the Federal Highway Administration and tell them what symbols we plan on using and in what context. And we hope to be doing that over the next couple of months. And then hopefully by summer actually be doing some live testing with our customers using some of the graphics that are provisionally approved. In a nutshell, that's what we're up to.
Do we need federal approval to those signs that you're talking about introducing? Do we need to get
the messages? The manual on uniform traffic control devices, which is published by the feds and is endorsed by the state of Illinois DOT, provides guidelines for what goes on dynamic message science on interstates. If we're going to deviate from that to any great extent, it makes sense to go to the feds and be proactive and seek their approval and explain to them what we're doing and get their approval to experiment, because then you have the agency that creates the rules embracing what we're doing, so there's a certain level of protection and coordination in doing that.
But that's for the message itself, not this, the medium, not the signs per se, but for the messages that appear on the signs.
Right. What the METCD governs is what you can display on your dynamic message sign. And color graphic is exploding in terms of what you see the private sector doing with advertising. The METCD is going to be updated in the next 2 to 3 years. Timing is good for us to go to them and say, we want to experiment with this because we want to help drive that bus in terms of what gets approved.
How many locations do we have now with the dynamic message signs?
There are 39 signs that are installed on our system, and there's a couple off system, either on IDOT's roads or the one in Wisconsin where traffic feeds into us.
When's the last time we conducted a study of this nature on the signage?
Way back when the original signs that were installed on the tollway in the late 70s, early 80s had significant operational problems. And so when we set about to replace those 7 signs and took a look at whether signs would be valuable in terms of guiding people through toll collection, because in those days we were just thinking about electronic toll collection. We did a bit of a study on what was available then. And monochrome, what we have installed right now, we're really the state of the art up until the explosion in terms of high definition graphics and color.
Well, we've done other testing on different types of signs, like the static signs that are just up on the tollway system. So I know when open road tolling was implemented, there was a lot of testing around the messages that would help people understand how to use the system. 294-57, we ended up doing some focus groups also for the signage that was going to be placed there. So not DMS signage per se in particular, but John and his group are always good about being thoughtful as we're looking to implement new signage out there.
There's an in-house committee, the Traffic Operations Safety Committee, that meets monthly. And that committee will guide efforts that study evaluating signs and speed limits and all those various things that come up involving operating the road, operating characteristics of the road. So that's kind of our clearinghouse. And that committee has representation from all departments on it. So we are on a regular review, if you will, in terms of where we put signs, what are the signs, what kind of signs, what frequency. And we're trying to avoid sign pollution. Keep the signs at a reasonable level, make sure we're communicating good information, but not overloading the customer with unnecessary information.
Have you anticipated the cost of the new dynamic message boards?
The color graphic ones are going to be about 16. We don't know until we actually get some better bid prices out there. We've got some that are going to be installed in construction this year. But right now, a monochromatic sign that is not color or graphic is about $100,000 per sign. The new color graphic ones, we think, are going to fall in the range of $116,000 to $120,000, based on the numbers we've seen.
And how long do they last, John? How long would you expect the life expectancy of...
We're hopeful of getting 15 to 20 years. With other improvements to the infrastructure that supports the signs, we think 20 years is a realistic number. And I think there's an item on the board agenda that's doing some of that infrastructure improvements to improve the life of signs.
And maintenance is easier on these signs, ultimately, correct?
These signs are walk-in. Yeah. So the technician, in fact, one of the things we're doing on the board item that's on the agenda is we're creating an extended gantry so that we don't have to close the lane in order to get in these signs to work on them. All the maintenance is done from the inside of the sign.
Which will be, we hope, safer and easier.
The idea is not to disrupt traffic when we have to maintain the sign. So if you can get to the sign and get into the sign without closing the lane from the shoulder, then you're far better off and safer. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Good. Thank you. So as you can see, as usual, very thorough and thoughtful review, but we wanted to make you aware because this is something that will be a little new for people driving on different parts of our system. I think we expect some of these, the first ones to appear where, John, just so people are generally...
The first ones will actually, you'll see on the western end of I-90 because they were incorporated in that project as part of the 21st Century Corridor. There are two dynamic message signs and eight butterfly mounted signs. They're a little bit smaller than the big over the road ones. These will be mounted in the median up there and communicate the traffic in both directions. So you see those up there, and then Elgin O'Hare has a couple. And then
in 2015, we would see them starting on those two areas. Yeah, great. It's hard to get used to saying 2015. I almost said 2014 again. So, good. So that's the only item that I wanted to make sure you were aware, since this will be something a little new for us, but you know, not a great deal of cost difference and a lot better functionality, we think. So we'll see how everything goes, but it's I think going to be a real positive impact for the customers. Other than that, I turn it over to the various agenda items. We're ready to take those on.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Finance has two items today. One is the approval of the 2014 retiree health insurance payment to CMS, and the second one is authorization to optionally redeem $36 million remaining Series 2005 bonds.
Okay.
Michael.
Thank you, Chair. First item is approval of the 2014 group health benefits, which are eligible for our retirees, which is administered through the Department of Central Management Services. State statute provides that CMS administers this program, which covers our tollway retirees or individuals that have service with the tollway. Pursuant to the statute, we reimburse them annually for that cost. That cost in 2014 was $3,915,010.65. This is actually the lowest cost for our retiree group health benefits since 2009. It's actually the lowest in 5 years. The CMS had made some changes to the program to better coordinate with Medicare, and that's reduced the state's costs. So Finance would recommend approval for this item to be placed on the board's consent agenda.
Still, that's a little over 1,000 employee enrollees on that.
It is, and it is for 2014. We have already accrued the expense. We're just seeking approval to make the payment.
Very good. Thank you.
Second item is authorization to optionally redeem or to call $36.81 million of remaining Series 2005A bonds on July 1 rather than January 1 of 2016. This would allow us to pay the principal amount of the remaining 2005A bonds off 6 months early using tollway funds, current revenues, which would save us the last interest payment, which is about $900,000. We believe it's appropriate to do so. We're paying a rate of interest of 5% for that last 6 months, an annual rate of interest of 5%. We're certainly not earning nearly that much in our funds, so we think it makes sense to call those bonds out early.
There's no prepayment penalty?
There is not.
On that, and after 10 years, we can call the bonds. So this is the first time we can call those now.
Exactly, this is the first date that we could call these bonds. We did do refundings of the rest of the 2005A bonds, where you put the proceeds in an escrow and use the refunding proceeds to call all these bonds out. These were so short that it didn't make sense to actually issue new bonds to refinance them. We waited until we could call them with current revenue.
To save about roughly
$900,000.
Okay. And this will take place.
We will set aside the funds to the trustee over the next 4 months so that they can issue a notice to bondholders in advance of that call date.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. There being no questions, we'll take items under finance, take items 1 and 2 together. If there's no objection, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you. Thanks,
thank
Mike.
Thank you.
Procurement and an item, we're going to basically defer this item. Engineering has multiple items, and I'll turn it over to Paul.
Thank you.
For review.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, engineering has 19 items today, and I have a slight preview. We're hopefully going to be, I'll be presenting and we'll be awarding the last three big mainline contracts for I-90. I-90 is definitely our big focus area in 2015. We finished up the 37 miles of widening and reconstruction to the west of the Elgin Toll Plaza, and now we're focused on that 25-mile section to the east. There's a lot of big challenges there. We have a lot of traffic in that section, a lot of utilities in that section, so it's really going to be a big lift for us. We're excited, though, that we got good bids. We think we're good with our budget, and we're looking forward to starting that work. So item one is a construction contract award for westbound roadway and bridge reconstruction widening from Illinois 31 to the Fox River on the Jane Addams. It's a very short section. We got 5 bids on this contract. Award is recommended to FH Passion SN Nielsen, who's the low bidder at $30,856,653.99. So even though this section is very short, this has got a lot of challenges in it because we have the Illinois Route 31 interchange there, and we also have to tie in the maintenance of traffic in this section with the Fox River Bridge that's getting built just to the east of there. So there's a lot of additional activity going on in this very short section. I do note they've committed to meeting our DBE goal. And we saw, you know, there was a variance here between the budgeted amount and the engineer's estimate, and one of the big explanations for that was when we did our evaluation of the bid was the engineers didn't properly estimate what it was going to cost for the bridge removal items. So we have 2 structures on I-90 over Illinois Route 31 that they had a placeholder there for the price, and they never went back and put in a realistic price there, so it's all attributed to that. But the fact that I got 5 bidders, they're all within 4.7%, you know, we know this is what it's going to cost. So we're very comfortable in recommending award on that one. Item 2 is a construction contract. This is for outside roadway and bridge reconstruction widening in both directions from Illinois 25 to Higgins Road, also on I-90. It's a 4-mile section. We got 2 bids on this contract. An award is recommended to the joint venture of Plody and Dunnett Bay Construction, who's the low bidder at $76,879,371.88. They committed to meet our DB goal. This roadway section is right outside of Plody's main building where they're located, and they also have a big quarry there behind that building. So we were very happy to see 2 bidders on this, and we were very happy to see them coming in within our budget. So we feel good about recommending award on this one.
You said it's a 4-mile section?
Yes.
Engineer's estimate came way under, about $5 million under engineer's estimates, which is good.
Yeah. So I did ask the PMO to go back and do a little bit of research on our. We do manage each individual project, and then we also manage the corridors, which those projects are within, like the Elgin O'Hare and I-90, east and west. We broke it into 2 pieces, 294-57. And then we manage the program overall, all of the work that we're doing. And over the last 5 years, we've awarded $2.8 billion in construction activity, and the award amounts came in at 2.5. So we know we're well within the established budget, and even accommodating the 5% that we typically set aside for potential unknowns. So that, combined with the fact that we are delivering our projects after construction, less than 1% in variance from the award amount, means that, you know, we feel very good about the progress we're making on the program. We feel it's very healthy, and you know, we're happy with those results.
So far, not going to win.
Yes. That's why we have a pool table.
The weather's cooperating so far.
It is. Yeah. And we are doing work. You'll see people out there. So item three is another construction contract award for East Barn Roadway and Bridge Reconstruction and Widening from Mannheim Road to the Kennedy. Also on the Jane Addams, it's a 2.3-mile section. We received four bids on this contract. The award is recommended to F.H. Passion, S.N. Nielsen. It's the low bidder at $60,281,636.17. They committed to meeting our DB goal. So this contract's a little different from the other mainline contracts. In 2015, we're building the outside lanes. And then in 2016, we're hopefully going to be moving and rebuilding the inside lanes. So this particular section of I-90, which is very close to O'Hare, we rebuilt the westbound lanes already when we converted the Devon Avenue Toll Plaza to open road tolling. So we're allowing this contractor to build both the inside and the outside lanes, and it's going to span a two-year period.
Passion has super unlimited capacity.
Yeah, and you know, Passion was not successful in winning any of the combination bids or any of the other projects on I-90. So they bid these, you know, last two mainline sections pretty aggressively, which definitely was in the tollway's favor.
Okay. And their staff, do you feel comfortable with the staffing?
Yes. So item four is a construction contract award for the reconstruction and widening of Higgins Road. That's Illinois Route 72. This is a bridge over the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. It also has some widening and reconstruction that has to be done on Illinois Route 72 itself. We got six bids on this contract. Award is recommended to Lorig, who's the low bidder at $6,036,713.75, and they've committed to meet our DB goal.
And Lorig, how does this differ? They're doing bridge work at Higgins Road?
Yes,
say?
It's a crossroad bridge.
72 right there?
Yep. So item five is a small business set-aside contract. So this is one of those contracts where we specifically targeted this as a small business set-aside. It has to do with some of the improvements we're doing at the M1 maintenance facility. It's along the Tri-State and Elsip. Construction contract award for the addition of light fixtures. It's in the salt barn there at the Elsip maintenance facility. This work was broken out. We received three bids on this contract. Award is recommended to EMM Electric, doing business as Moran Electric Contracting, who's the low bidder at $79,390, and this is going to be their first contract with the toll.
There's no diversity because it's a business set-aside?
Yeah,
so
that's
don't assign any goals to that?
Right. But it's worth mentioning that Moran Electric is a female-owned business also.
That's diversity. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Item six is a construction contract award. What they're going to be doing for us is rebuilding the north entrance of the to the Tollway Central Administration Building, the building we're in right now. And what they're going to be doing is rebuilding it in a manner that complies with the American Disabilities Act, which is a federal regulation. They're going to be installing an ADA ramp. They're also going to be installing some ADA parking spaces. In that lot, and also converting our door so that it is ADA compliant there. We got three bids on this contract. The award is recommended to Broadway Electric, who is the low bidder at $582,000, and they are committing to meet our DB goal. Okay. Item seven is a construction contract award. This is for rehabilitation work. This was referred to by John Benda in his presentation. We need to replace some of the cabinets that we house some of the equipment for our dynamic message signs. It's at 12 locations system-wide. We received four bids on this contract. Award is recommended to John Burns, who's the low bidder at $818,888.88. They've committed to meeting our DB goal, and their ECP credit also was critical in them winning this contract. So I know there was a variance between the engineer's estimate here and the low bid amount, and when we have work spread around throughout the system, we've seen it before where, you know, the bids have come in higher than what we anticipated because of the fact that it's spread out in so many different locations, so they overcompensated in this case for that fact. Item 8, this is an amendment to a previously approved extra work order. And what we're doing is requesting additional funding in the amount of $219,674. This is on contract 4073. It's with Kern Construction Company. It's for work that was done on I-90 in the west section. So the board originally approved an extra work order to recover some lost days due to the weather and soil conditions out there for $228,000. That was back in August 2013. The board did approve several other extra work orders for some of the other I-90 contracts similarly. The contractor made a claim because they felt that it was actually going to cost $1.2 million. So this has now gone through the claims process, and we've reevaluated the schedule, reevaluated all the documentation on the cost, and the total amount on 4073 is $447,674. So we did recognize that it was higher than the original approved amount, and we're recommending, you know, amending this extra work order to include that additional work. The contract, I will point out, is closing out underneath or under the original contract award amount, which is also on the agenda later for a final release of retainage. And I did like to see that Kern did exceed our DBE. They did exceed their DBE commitment on this contract also.
This is a scheduled recovery due to weather from last year?
Yeah, so when we